I had just graduated from college. I graduated from UC Berkeley, and a couple short months afterwards, I found out I was pregnant. And at the time, I thought that meant I was going to be a mom. That's what happens when you get pregnant, you become a mom. And over a couple of weeks, I realized that probably wasn't going to be the best choice for me. So I ended up having an abortion. And afterwards, I expected that there would be some kind of support, that somebody would hand me a phone number or a brochure or a book and say, here's a place of other women that you can go and talk to about your abortion experience. And I didn't get any of that. It wasn't offered. So I went looking for it, mostly in the Yellow Pages at the time. And I did find a lot of post-abortion support. It was all Christian or Catholic-based, religious-based. And a lot of it existed in local churches. And it was mostly for women who felt regret about their abortions and who needed to seek forgiveness from God. And that wasn't what I was looking for. And so that started the process to start something. And the thing that we started was a non-judgmental talk line for people who'd experienced abortion to call and get non-judgmental emotional support and respect, free from politics, and yet absolutely rooted in whatever spiritual religious practice they were bringing to their abortion experience, that we were open and available to hear about that too.
And so you mentioned that in the past it's been kind of focused on the church and guilt.
Yeah.
And so then what do you offer? What when I make that call, what do I hear on the other side?
So the first thing that we usually do is just ask open-ended questions, you know, to let someone speak for themselves so that we don't have any preconceived notions about whether the caller's experience was a good one or a bad one or the right one or the wrong one. You know, we want to hear what that woman has to say about her own experience. So we use open-ended questions to let her tell her story the way that she wants.
Like what?
You know, how did that feel for you? What was that like? And we do a lot of validating. So that's the first thing, is we validate whatever emotions someone says. So if they say, I'm feeling really sad, we say, I hear that. It sounds really common. I think a lot of women have felt really sad. Or someone says, wow, I feel so much better. I was so freaked out thinking about what it was going to be like to have a kid. And now that weight is lifted off my shoulder. And we say, wow, that's awesome. Look at you. You know, look at you make this decision for yourself.
There's no advice really given. Oh, you should do this. Oh, you should not do that. That's not part of this project.
We believe that people have their own best answers. And so maybe the next thing that we do after we, you know, learn a little bit more about what it's like for them, after we validate their feelings, after we make sure we use the language that they use. So we use reflective language.
Tell me about that.
So if someone
reflective language,
it means that if someone calls it a baby, that we'll call it a baby. It means if someone calls it a fetus, we call it a fetus. It means if someone talks about the Lord, we'll talk about the Lord. It means if somebody talks about being spiritual, we're going to say spiritual. If someone says they're black, we're going to say black. You know, we're not going to reframe language to African-American or God instead of the Lord, or we're going to use the words that they use to describe their own experience.
And what does that do?
It tells them that we're paying attention to what they're saying.
I'm talking with Aspen Baker. She is founder and executive director of Exhale and author of the book Pro Voice, How to Keep Listening When the World Wants a Fight. And so a lot of your focus has been, let us change the conversation about abortion from kind of the polarizing conversation that is happening right now, pro-life, pro-choice, to a term that you coined, pro-voice.
Pro-voice.
What does that mean?
Pro-voice is that all these things that I'm talking about that we do on the talk line is a way to really listen and engage with people who may have very different experiences. You know, talking to a caller about her abortion, their experience might be very different from mine, but we can engage in a conversation that's respectful and supportive. And that is a thing that a lot more people can do and should be doing. And so Pro Voice grew out of that work in the talk line and then has been transferred into you know, real life conversations with friends and family, that we have used ProVoice in conversations with college students and at churches. And it is a way to open up conversations about things that we typically think are very difficult to talk about or off topic, or that make us really nervous, or that make us think that we're going to get into a big fight and we don't know how to do it in a different kind of way. And so the listening is a really key part of that. Storytelling, speaking from personal experience. We tend to get into big rational, logical sort of debates when things get really big and full of conflict, that if we can rationalize our sort of way into a solution. And we think that we need to really start by speaking openly and personally about how the issue affects us and our own lived experience. And that's where the connection can get created, that we need to hold on to in all kinds of conversations.
And so the essence of ProVoice then is to be able to talk whatever your experience is, and on the other line you will not get someone judgmental or on either side of this spectrum.
It's a way to hold both your own personal political views. So I think that's important to realize about ProVoice, isn't saying you shouldn't be pro-choice or you shouldn't be pro-life, you should just, you know, be whatever. It's like you can hold your own strong political and personal views and have some skills and some tools that allow you to be in conversations with people who aren't exactly like you or who don't think exactly like you.
So you're going up against this culture, though, which is now very, very strong, this
yeah.
pro-life versus pro-choice, and you have to be either or,
yeah.
and that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
How what are you doing to try to achieve what you're trying to do when you might be the minority in this conversation?
It is incredibly challenging to hold the space for connection as the times become increasingly polarized. And it can be easy to think that, you know, all is lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's getting worse. And that may be true. And part of my job and part of the job of Exhale is to hold out hope for a different kind of future and to help uplift what we would call hidden stories.
Mm.
So it's not true that this entire country is polarized and divided over everything, that there are families who have Republicans and Democrats in them. There are couples who are pro-choice and pro-life. There are lots and lots of stories of people who are finding ways to stay connected even across their differences. And those stories need to be shared and uplifted and brought to the forefront so that we know what that looks like.